What's good? Zimbabwe muhle lingali tshona njani mtsakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle kwazi why mune Zimbabwe tinomgamuchira mutsongwa chedu cheve chidiki uhlelo live talk at the connection lilami o Mike Hove muri Zimbabwe and deep go hama dzangu for everybody tuning in. Welcome to live talk at the connection, a Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Muri Zimbabwe, we're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. on the 16th of November, 2021. Mtsakazo muhle, Zimbabwe muhle. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, kwazwai, kunemunhu wese arikupinda muchongwa chedu chove chidiki. Welcome to everybody tuning in right now to Live Talk at the Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. We're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. on November the 16th, 2021. Muri Zimbabwe, namhlanje kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo, nasi mchongwa chedu chove chidiki. Tonight on the Connection, we focus on youth empowerment in Zimbabwe under the leadership of President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Now, for those that do not know, President Emmerson Mnangagwa first took over the reins of our president in November 2017, following the ousting of the late President Robert Mugabe. Now, upon taking over the reins of presidency in 2017, President Emmerson Mnangagwa promised Zimbabwean youth that he will work very hard to ensure that their lives change. He vowed to uplift the life of Zimbabwean youth. He promised to fix the economy. And of course, as per the demand of a Zimbabwean youth, he promised to create jobs. As we continue speaking to Zimbabwean youth about issues that affect them, tonight we focus on youth empowerment. Unfortunately, Muri Zimbabwe, tonight's program is a pre-recorded program. So what this means for you all is that you will be unable to join in live as per usual. You won't be able to call in live as per usual. However, as we speak, we're still streaming on our three Facebook pages, that being VOA Ndebele, VOA Studio 7, and of course, VOA Shona, Skonanjalo, on our three web pages, that being www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashona.com, and of course, www.voandebele.com. For all YouTube fanatics, we're broadcasting live on our official YouTube page, that being VOA Zimbabwe. So you can also catch us there. Zulukanda balinga kofi, ukufitizela lapho ukubhala ukuthi share, msakhangana ukuthinya, paye bakanze share, kuitwa utuone chirongwa ichi no wandu wedu. You can put your comments in the comments section and we will be seeing your feedback. Most importantly, linga kofi ukufitizela lapho ukubhala ukuthi like. Do not forget to press the like button. Let's delve into tonight's discussion, Muri Zimbabwe. As usual, first up, an update on COVID-19. We'd like to give you information coming straight from the Ministry of Health and Childcare. Let us head over to an infomercial that was recently produced by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, which focuses on coronavirus in Zimbabwe. Now, for those that are looking to watch the full clip, kindly head over to the Ministry of Health and Childcare's official web pages, that being their Twitter page, their Facebook page, and of course, their YouTube page.
Tinokutendai Zimbabwe nekutaru pande rwenyu mukudzivirira kupararira kwechirwere checoronavirus. Tinokutendai nekumira chinambwe kubva kune vamwe, kufeka kwenyu mask painodiwa, kugeza kwenyu maoko nekugara makashambidzika nguva dzose. Tinokutendai nekugara pamba pamunenge musiri kunzwa zvakanaka, kuzvipira kwenyu uye nekuverengwa pavanhu vari kubatsira panguva ino yakaoma. Shanduko yemararamiro yedu haisi nyore, asi iri kushanda. Nekudaro, ngatirambei tichiendera mberi, ngatirambei tichiita sarudzo dzinotichengetedza kubva kune chirwere cheCovid. Tinoda kutenda mutungamiri weZimbabwe, mutevedzeri wavo, vashandi vari mubazi reutano, vanochengetedza mitemo nevose vari kutsigira. Kuti muzive zvakawanda pamusoro peCovid, endai padandemutande rebazi rezveutano nekuchengetedzwa kwevana rinoti www.mohcc.gov.zw kana kudownloada app yakapasiswa nebazi rinonzi ZimCovid Safe, inowanikwa paGoogle Play Store kana paApple App Store. Mashoko aya maunzirwa nebazi reutano nekuchengetedzwa kwevana. Vachiwana rutsigiro kubva ku Revive, Baker's Inn neChicken Inn.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the Ministry of Health and Childcare. This is Nyambela Isikona, a mobile application, which you can use, Zimcode, COVID Safe, which you can use to get the latest information on COVID-19. And of course, ukubona ukuthi ngicabanga maybe usubanjwe ngaleli gciwane le coronavirus, what can you do? The application is Isikona, which can help you receive more of that information. So hambani lingakhohlwa izulu kanti bakhona ku Twitter, Facebook, kanye la ku website yabo www.ministryofhealthandchildcare.co.zw. But now to delve into tonight's discussion, Muriel Zimbabwe, ukungena phela kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo to focus on tonight's discussion. Tonight, as I mentioned earlier on, we're going to be focusing on youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Now, for those that do not know, just to get a little refresher, November 2017 was a very eventful month for Zimbabwe in terms of shaping the nation's history or the nation's future for Zimbabwe to be what it is today. Zimbabwe experienced arguably one of the most momentous events in Zimbabwe's history since independence in November 2017. That is when we saw what the new dispensation is terming a military takeover, which led to the ousting of the late President Robert Mugabe and, of course, the incoming of President Emmerson Mnangagwa, where he took over the reins of President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, making him officially the third president since independence. Tonight on The Connection, we're going to be revisiting some of these moments in 2017. And of course, we're going to be speaking to youth about whether or not President Emmerson Mnangagwa or the new dispensation has been able to deliver on some of these promises that they made for Zimbabwe youth. Now, to hear more, a Voice of America recently reached out to Zimbabwe youth to talk about this moment in 2017, and of course, whether or not President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government has been able to deliver on these promises. Amongst them is Thando Gwinji and, of course, Ashley Funye. Both of these are community leaders within Zimbabwe. So let us hear more from all the youth that spoke to Voice of America about the events in 2017 and, of course, whether or not they feel President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been able to deliver on their promises.
I have received, in terms of Section 96, Subsection 1 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, a letter from the President, State House, Harare, Zimbabwe, 31st November 2017. The Honourable Jacob Mondenda, notice of resignation.
Basically, the interpretation of the demise of Robert Mugabe was interpreted in terms of bringing hope in the country of Zimbabwe. You know, after 36 or 37 years of having a dictator at the helm of power, it means, you know, he's a complete overhaul of the system of tyranny. So when Robert Mugabe was ousted, you know, there was hope. People celebrated, thinking that it's because of an individual. So that individual mentality that we had, that, you know, if we deal with this individual, everything is going to go. I think most of the people celebrated. This general feeling was we have succeeded. We have done something that is very historical. But, well, to our disappointment, all those things, and they have multiplied in the current regime. So I must say that for me, it was, you know, a good step in the right direction, not realizing that, you know, the future was, you know, the future is uncertain. And what is at stake after a coup is much larger than what happened, you know, before the coup.
Everyone here is very happy. They're very happy about that Mugabe must go today, not tomorrow, today. We want him to leave the office.
Yes, for me, as a young person in this country, my hopes particularly were directed into, I must just say, mention three key issues for me, which is number one, the political setup. I really looked forward to a change in the system of governance, where we're having people being able to express themselves freely, where we're going to have freedom of speech, where we're going to have freedom of gathering, where we're going to have freedom to affiliate yourself to a political party of choice. So that's what we expected. Economically, we, as you know, that we're a generation that has never been given a fair chance. We're a generation that has never seen a payslip. We're a generation that has never been formally employed. It's a kia-kia economy in Shona, where we just wake up and try to make things and hustle up. So we have never really encountered systematic employment. So we hoped that, you know, a new era is going to come onto us, and these young people are going to get jobs, decent jobs, are going to get housing, are going to get, you know, pure salary, a tangible and consistent income that will also help you to plan for your future. So that's, you know, it's an economical aspect. You're going to see, you know, the economy being resuscitated, the currency itself gaining its value, the minerals being equally distributed, development in the communities. That's what we also anticipated, having electricity, because electricity, you know, in Zimbabwe was now it was now a scandal. There was no electricity. So we hoped to get basic social services, electricity, water, all those services coming back to life. You know, Zimbabwe being the real breadbasket of Africa as it was, having the industry being revived. And socially, we expected that we are going to, you know, have education, you know, being restored, quality and affordable education. We are going to have a proper healthcare system, because there is none at the moment. People are just going, you see women giving birth on the streets, all these things, they are happening in the face of men. So we're hoping that, you know, post Mugabe era, we're going to basic social, you know, services being delivered. And also socially, we are also expecting that as people are going to come together and be united in coming up with a common goal. I think my point of departure will be that the center is not holding. The center is failing to hold, because there are no tangible decisions that are being made at the central government level. And I must say that confidently that people are very much eager for change. People really want something new. They are looking forward. As we celebrate, as most people celebrated the 2017 coup, people are waiting to celebrate a new dawn, a new rise, and a new change that is going to come. You know, a change which will deliver in terms of ushering in a new democratic state that is centered on the pillars of social justice.
I was hoping that with Mugabe's reign coming to an end, it could signal the birth of the earth of a democracy, and the birth of a democracy starting with the rule of law. At the same time, I was hoping that since this stern man who has been holding Zimbabwe behind since independence has gone, maybe something new, something different might come forth if we follow the law and practice that which we are saying. Since 2017 was post the introduction of the SDGs, it was post the African Charter on Democracy, Elections and Governance, I thought that maybe as Zimbabwe we were going to a place where we are seeing the rule of law and where we are seeing democracy taking course. Those were my hopes at that time, yeah. All of my life was the Mugabe era, and currently I'm the post-Mugabe era. And so the mood in the country currently is people are tired. People are tired. People are kind of embarrassed by the situation that we are in as a country, because we know what we should have and what we should not have. We know that we have a right to identity. But as it is now, it's even difficult for you to get an identity card. So it's kind of really embarrassing in a way. And as embarrassed as we are really tired, speaking for myself and the young people that I'm interacting with daily. They would tell you that really we are trying the best that we can. We are always adjusting to whatever is coming our way. well, this new dispensation came with the bond not being 1:1 the rate with the United States dollar. And we said, okay, we have seen this, but we knew that it wasn't really going to last long. And right now the economy is crippling. We cannot find cash anywhere. There's a cash crisis. There are a whole lot of crises around our economy. So that on its own, young people keep on trying to adjust. They keep on trying to wake up every morning and go to look for something for families to eat. They're living from hand to mouth. That's the economic situation that is there. So whatever person gets today, it has to take them through the next few days. And after the next few days, they would need to wake up again, go look for something, do something, and they would do absolutely anything. And we are at a point where we are realizing our laws and what our laws are saying, our constitution. We are fighting against corruption. We are fighting against this. But a lot of these things that we are fighting against are actually being perpetrated by the people that we entrusted our governance with, by the politicians. So this is the mood where we are. And people are starting to compare this situation where we are at with the Mugabe era. And they are saying that, no, maybe in the Mugabe era, Mugabe would notice that, no, the people are actually feeling this at this point in time. And when he notices, he can either do one of his very motivational speeches or one of his very provocative speeches at UN, at funerals, at wherever. And people might wake up the next morning with some form of hope that things might change, though nothing would change really. But they had that trust in Mugabe as the person who actually led the liberation struggle, and he was one of the founding fathers of the Pan-African ideology. So they kind of really identified with Mugabe in a way. But coming to the current regime that we have, the new dispensation, as they would love to call it, people are actually seeing a lot of lies circulating on Twitter, social media, etc. They are getting tired of them day after day, and they are noticing a lot of promises that were put very flowery on billboards, and the exact opposite has been done.
No one is more important than the other. We are all Zimbabweans. We want to grow our economy. We want peace in our country. We want jobs, jobs, jobs in our country.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the youth speaking for themselves, their thoughts about how well President Emmerson Mnangagwa has done with regards to youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. As mentioned early on, uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa wathatha phela umbuso wokuba nguMongameli welizwe ngoNovember 2017, lapho kwakhishwa khona owayenguMongameli, uMnumzana Robert Mugabe. So whilst on the discussion of youth empowerment, now the Minister of Youth, Sports, Arts and Recreation, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, also commented about how well President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government has done with regards to youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Now, throughout the course of the year, the Minister herself, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, has particularly focused on several initiatives that are government-led that have uplifted Zimbabwean youth, amongst them being the Empowerment Bank. Let us hear more about what Honorable Kirsty Coventry had to say in a Zoom meeting that they had earlier on this year, whereby she was addressing Zimbabwean youth.
Create better markets. How can youth have greater access to land? How can youth find more opportunities for finance? How can youth come up with the technologies and the practical skills to ensure that they jump over by leaps and bounds into a career path on and for agriculture? All of these things that right now are challenging can be turned around to be made into a positive. So what is Zimbabwe and what is the government doing? Well, right now, we know that the government has low-hanging fruit and that we are wanting to poise and catapult the economy through exciting initiatives and innovations that are spearheaded through and by my ministry and the ministry responsible for lands and agriculture, as well as different financial institutions. So what have we done? Well, we've been listening to what the lacking areas are, so lack of access to land, lack of finance, and we've looked at those to say, how do we turn those into opportunities? And we have started by having new initiatives through the Empower Bank. We've started those initiatives through the youth focal desks. We've started by the review of the national policy, which has led to the promulgation of the National Youth Act. All of these things have come from an opportunity that we've seen to be something that is lacking into an opportunity that will benefit youth. So there are existing opportunities to empower youth at different stages of the agricultural value chain. And by harnessing increasing new technologies and approaches, we will be able to create new jobs, more jobs, increased food production, and we would be able to produce a less reliance on food imports.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the Honorable Minister of Youth, Sports, Arts and Recreation, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, speaking on youth empowerment. This was at a meeting hosted by the Ministry of Youth, Arts and Recreation earlier on this year. Limzile Phela, Minister of Youth, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, is working extremely hard can empower themselves in the country. Empowerment Bank, all these different platforms are there and available and ready for the youth of Zimbabwe to be used. Some have already benefited. But now to hear more, I reached out to other young people. We're joined by ZANU-PF youth member, Admire Maskati, and of course, the director of Youth Forum Zimbabwe, Mr. Ashton Bumira. They both joined me via telephone. I had reached out to them to have a conversation with them about youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Let's hear this conversation that I had with Admire Maskati and Ashton Bumira. Admire starts, kickstarts this conversation.
Yeah, youth empowerment is there, but the problem is maybe the opportunities that are coming for the youth are far and wide.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the mainstream economy, getting opportunities, financial inclusion, financial independence, we find out that a lot of our youth are often shut out because of the lack of collateral in terms of accessing this financial from the ministries or from various things.
So, Admire, you just touched on the challenges youth are facing in Zimbabwe with regards to accessing funds which they can use to empower themselves, uplift their businesses, and, of course, their projects. So if you're saying that youth are having challenges accessing funds, where exactly does this empowerment you talk about fit in? Where is the empowerment you talk about?
Yes, but let's look at the aspect of some youth actually are having the opportunity to acquire land.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity to acquire mining claims, the opportunity to own businesses, they are there.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is, even if they are there, those are very few compared to what we expect as the youth. And we expect the youth to actually control the means of production. And hence we are striving towards that as the government. We are trying to create more opportunities, we are trying to create synergies where the youth could actually chip in and channel their energy towards the complexity of the economy and directing the economy towards a better status. So hence, they are saying the opportunities are there, but they are far and wide. So we need to bridge that gap, which has been created by the lack of financial accessibility towards the youth. Hence, we established the youth bank, Empower Bank, where youth are supposed to actually have an opportunity to access loans.
Now, you just mentioned the Empowerment Bank, the Youth Empowerment Bank. Now, through conversations that I've had with Zimbabwean youth here on our platform, one thing that has been highlighted by a lot of youth that have come onto this platform and other youth that I've just had conversations with is that they do not have enough information on how to access these monies you talk about through platforms such as the Empowerment Bank. So now, How do we bridge the gap here to ensure that more youth have access to these funds that have been set aside for them by government?
I think the best way to address this is the government should actually try and by all means to create platforms where youth should access information, establish youth friendly corners in every government institution whereby youth should go there and access information. You find out that a lot of our youth are now, because we are in the 21st century, these things that are written in black and white, most of our youth are not keen on reading. But if we, the government should actually try and create more social media platforms where they could interact with youth more. And if they do that, you'll find out that a lot of our youth would actually get access to information. But as it is right now, because of maybe lack of funds and other stuff, you find out that our government is actually using the orthodox method of actually disseminating information. Hence, that these can access that information. But over and above, we also need to bridge the ignorance gap that is actually been cultivated amongst our youth. We, our youth, tend to actually believe that there is nothing that is theirs within these institutions.
I say, Abonga Admire. Muriel Zimbabwe, we're also joined by the director of our Youth Forum Zimbabwe, Mr. Ashton Bumira. Babumira, welcome to the program. Tinotenda zvikuru sana kupfuura nguvai kuti muve nesu pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki. Nyaya yatinayo nhasi muchirongwa mainzwa tiri kubata nyaya yezvekusimudzirwa kwevechidiki munyika. Youth empowerment in Zimbabwe, Babumira, tipewo maonero enyu, mungati zviri kuitika munyika here izvi?
Zvandinogona kungotaura ndezvekuti izvino mukada kutarisa masiariko ari kurangidzaiwo kuti vechidiki vakawanda havana mabasa. Vechidiki vari kubva kumakoreji vakawanda vanenge vachida mabasa havana mabasa, havana zvekuita. Vechidiki vakawanda vari kudawo minda yekurima, minda yacho haisi kuwanikwa. Ini pachangu chaiwo munda ndotouda, asi kuti ndikwanise kuwana munda iwoyo hasi kukwanisika. So nekuda kweizvozvo tinotaura kuti zviri pachena kuti mikana kuvechidiki haisi kuwanikwa, mikana mishoma. Asi pandoda kungonyanyotsinira ndokupa mabasa. Vechidiki tiri kuda mabasa, asi mabasa hatisi kukwanisa kumawana.
Right. Vabumira, vamunangagwa mutungamiriri wenyika, vamunangagwa pavakatora matanho ekuva mutungamiriri wenyika, takawanza vachiti jobs, vachiti hurumende yavo ichashanda nemazvo. Mukuona kuti vechidiki vachawana mabasa, vechidiki vachawana mikana munyika yekuzvisimudzira. Mashoko akataurwa navamunangagwa pavakatora matanho ekuva mutungamiriri wenyika ari kutsinirwa naminister of youth, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, ari kutsinirwawo zvekare naminister of finance, Vamthuli Ncube, vachiti hurumende yavamunangagwa iri kushanda nemazvo mukugadzirisa matambudziko ari kusangana nevechidiki munyika, patinotarisa nyaya yezvekushayikwa kwemabasa pamwe nenyaya yezvezvirongwa zvirimo munyika zvakanangana nekuvatsimudzira. Tichitarisa zvirongwa izvi zviri kutaurwa nehurumende, tambonzwawo wechidiki we ZANU PF vamasikati vachiti aiwa hurumende ine chirongwa cheEmpowerment Bank chiripo chakanangana nekusimudzira vechidiki. Tichitarisa zvirongwa zvese zvirimo munyika, nemaonero enyu, mungati hurumende yavamunangagwa iri kushanda nemazvo here mukusimudzira vechidiki?
Chatinokurudzira hurumende, inofanira kuwandudza mikana, bhikozi mukada kuzvitarisa hurumende ndiyo the biggest employer. Saka pari zvino tikada kutaurasicuesheni iripo ndekuti sekutaura kwandaita vana vachipedza zvikoro havasi kuwana mikana even yekupinda kushanda kana muhurumende chaimo haisi kutombowanikwa. Tochitarisa avo vanobva kunze vachiuya vachiisa makambani avo muno, mamiriro akaita upfumi hwedu, tikada kutarisa izvezvi mari yatinoshandisa, vanhu vashoma vanoda kuuya vachivhura makambani avo muno. Nekuti mukada kuzvitarisa tichishandisa iyo mari yemuno iyi, vakawanda vanotoona kuti zvinhu vakauyisa mari yavo hapana chavanokwanisa kubuditsa. Totarisa futi nyaya yehuori. Huori ndo hwakanyanya muno munyika. Hapana munhu anoda kuuya achiisa mari yake yaanoziva kuti inenge ichizoteererwa nevakuru vehurumende. Saka zviri kutaurwa navamutuli zvakawanda zvacho zviri kungowandira mukutaura. Asi pagiraundi mukada kuzotaura zvinenge zvichiitika, hapana chinenge chichiitika chinobatika. Saka kurudziro yedu kuhurumende inofanira kushanda nevechidiki ende inofanira kuita kuti avo vanenge vachida kuti vange vachikwanisa kuvhura mabhizinesi avo vakwanise kunge vachivhura mune zvakanaka. Vanofanira kugadzirisa nyaya dzemari, kufambiswa kwemari. Iko zvino zviri pachena mari yemuno iyo yemabhondi iyi haisi kutenga, haina zvairi kunyatsoshanda. Vanhu vakawanda izvezvi, Mike, ndoda kuti ndikudze vanhu veZimbabwe vakawanda vanozviziva. Mari yaakutoshanda muno imari yekunze kwenyika, iyo anova US ekuAmerica. Asi hurumende yedu inoramba ichizviramba izvozvo, asi icho ndo chokwadi chaakutoitika munyika muno.
Let me hold you on the line there, Koma Ashton. Let us give Admire a chance, Yokchuaku Pindre, for him to respond to what you just said. Admire, was that connecting when you?
Yes, I am.
Uzwile kusanga kushiwo ngu-Ashton ngenala khonapho umphendulo.
Ya nyamuzwa Philip inkosi laphana. Into eqakathekile yokuthi sizananzelela kathesi ukuthi uhulumende ubuye wabuya esenzana i-land audit. I-land audit laphana okwenza ukuthi kube le-land audit yenzela ukuthi thina njengabontanga ukubanda lethu lezana i-six sakuhamba sakhuluma ukuthi leyo madoda siyacela lathi ukuthi sibe ne-access ye-land. Sizananzelela futhi ukuthi amayuthi amaningi isikhathi lisana ilendi isanda kuphiwa laphana abaningi babefithi ngamatoti babengafuni ukuthi kenjani bejoyine ugaza le-land reform. Sezananzelele ukuthi amayuthi amanye abekhuluma but ema-ofisini kabafiki kumbe bayesaba ukuthi beyefika bedinga uncedo. So kwani kunzima ukuthi umuntu umlande uzemtshentshi kule nto enjena engazange ayidinge. Yebo uyabekhuluma uminista but imbuzo esingabe siwubuza wona ukuthi bangaki asanike bahamba bayafika ema-ofisini bayadinga lolo ncedo. Sezananzelele ukuthi thina njengabantu angasencedezane zokuthi sifuna ukuthi sipinifide ele singasipinifide izinto zizazihambe kuhle. So mina ngibona ngathi ama-opportunities maningi but angeke kube nomuntu ezafike kunike ilutho emlonyeni. Thina njengebanda lezane isifo kumbe njengohulumende ekhaweza obusa iZimbabwe sinika abantu amahuka ukuthi likwanise ukuyathiya inhlanzi lokhu ukuthi sisezokunika inhlanzi kwi-silver platter. Sizananzelele ukuthi singakhangela kube mashona lembrijini ngalanye bakhona untanga abalimayo ithubhakho ini but lentanga abahamba badinga ilindi bona bodwa. So kuya ngokuthi wena njengomntanga wangikela ilingaphi ufunani ufisani empilweni. Uhulumende yeka kulanda zokuqudela eminyango ukuthi sikuyenzela lokhu but uyafanele ukulandela lama-opportunities nalawa khona.
Hayi, siyabonga Admire. Let's go back to Babumira. Babumira, muchiripo parunare.
Inini zvandida kungotaura pamusoro pezvakataura izvozvo ndezvekuti zvinhu izvi hazvisi kuitwa pajekerere. Bhozi ini ngada kuzvakaita ndikoriwo muyuthi asi zvinhu zvaari kutaura izvi ini handitorina kana humboo nazvo. So mashoko angu anditoda kutaura ndekuti tine sangano reZimbabwe Youth Council rinova sangano rinomirira mayuthi munomu riri sangano bandiko rehurumende yeZimbabwe. Isusu zvatinotarisira ndezvekuti zvinhu izvi kana zvichiitika hazvifani kunge zvichiitika zvichibhenefita bato rimwe zvichitadza kubhenefita rimwe bato. Apa ndinoreva kuti mukada kutarisa avo vanenge vachinzi vakawana minda vakawanda vacho vanenge vari vebato reZANU-PF. Isu tiri kuti kana vatungamira vachinge vasarudzwa vanova magurukota ehurumende maministers even nemutungamiriri wenyika vamunangagwa zvatinotarisira kubva kwavari ndevekuti vanenge vakutungamirira ani nani zvake zvisinei nekuti anenge ari kubato ripi. So kutaura kwavaita handirambi kuti kune avo mayuthi vanogonenge vane zvavakawanawo kubva kuhurumende zvinosanganisira angava maloans kana even land chaiyo for farming vari kuita zvetobhako. Asi zvatinoona isu especially mayuthi anenge ari mumaguta tinoona kuti mayuthi ayo anoita zvematongerwo enyika avo vanonge vari vanopikisa kakawanda kacho havawani mikana iyi. Ende avo mayuthi ivo vasingaite zvematongerwo enyika unoona zvinhu izvi zvinowanzongopiwa nekuda kwekuti unosapota bato ripi. Ende vanopiwa vachoka vashoma tichitarisira zvatinenge tichitarisira kuti zvinge zvichiitika nekuwanda kunenge kwakaita vechidiki munyika muno. Sekuziva kwaunoita mayuth we are more than 60% yepopulation yedu. So even mawanira atinoita land mawanira atinoita mukana anofanenge achienderanawo nekuwanda kwatinenge takaita sokuti hazvirevi chinhu kana mayouth mashoma achiwana ndatiti land iyo mayouth acho akawanda.
Now, Mr. Bumira, some young people would differ. I would beg to differ on what you just highlighted. They say that ZANU-PF members are not the only beneficiaries of government initiatives. As highlighted by Mr. Maskati, they say that when you're submitting your application, be it at the Empowerment Bank or any other place that has programs that target uplifting youth, on the form does not ask whether or not you're a ZANU-PF member. It doesn't ask for your political affiliation. In fact, Mr. Maskati just highlighted that, in his opinion, the mindset that only ZANU-PF members are benefiting from government initiatives is what's actually causing a lot of young people to not want to apply in their numbers. Something which he is urging young people to say, regardless of your political affiliation, go and apply for these programs. Kindly respond to that.
What I would say is, I think for starters, you know, in Zimbabwe, we have the Zimbabwe Youth Council, which is a government department, which is under the Ministry of Youth. Mm-hmm. So our expectation is
that entity, which was created by our Zimbabwean parliament, is actually supposed to, you know, make sure that young people from, you know, different political parties, they benefit. But if you look at the Zimbabwe Youth Council, the way it is, you know, constructed, it is leaning, you know, closely towards, you know, ZANU-PF as a party. So even when you look at, like, what you are saying, maybe young people, they apply or they are not applying, there is a pattern. Most of the young people, you know, who benefit from, you know, these government programs, they are from ZANU-PF. The reason why I'm saying this, you know, in Zimbabwe, our population, more than, you know, 60% of our population, you know, it's young people. And I'm also, you know, a part of those young people. And, you know, I can actually, you know, give you as an example. I myself, I have tried, you know, to look for a piece of land. Mm-hmm. I will tell you,
even if you go to the district office, you are told, you know, in this district, we no longer have land. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you recently, there was a young person who was given land, and, you know, on Twitter, most people, I will not mention the name, but most people, they were actually shocked to say, so land is still there. Yeah. What's the criteria? Like, when did this guy apply? How did they arrive at that? So my point
really is, you know, going forward, mm-hmm. if our government is,
you know, inclusive, is pro-youth, and it's also pro, you know, development, you know, we have
radio stations, we have, you know, our ZBC and so forth. They should, you know,
do awareness, you know, awareness campaign, you know, alerting people. Because at the moment, you know, for me, what my brother is saying, it's news, because I've tried it, and, you know, I no result.
Admire, is that connecting with me?
Yes, I am.
Can you kindly respond to Mr. Bumira there? We hear him acknowledging that, yes, there are some young people who are benefiting. However, in his opinion, it usually, in most circumstances, it depends on how close you are to the ZANU-PF.
Yes, I hear them loud and clear. But we need to allude to the fact that ZANU-PF is not the one that is allocating land, but the Ministry of Lands, Agriculture, Water and Fisheries does. And if you go and register there, if the land is available, you get the land on a first come, first serve basis.
Mm-hmm.
So you find out that a lot of people tend to speak from the terraces, not within the system. Yes, you might go there if you fail to actually access land. That will be then. But let's add to the fact that a lot of our youth do not want to be associated with the land reform because they think it are for old Madala people and other stuff. And getting to the fact that my brother is saying the ZANU-PF government is trying, is not trying, I will give him maybe a heads up. You see, we need to also include the fact that Zimbabwe has been under sanctions from 2000 up to now.
Mm-hmm.
And this government is actually trying in, keeping in trying to actually correct the anomaly that was created by the previous regime.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we are trying to actually re-engage with the countries that were previously not on our side.
Mm-hmm.
We find out that the Zimbabwe is open for business mantra, the compensation of the white farmers, all these is the measures that have been tried by the government to actually change the complexity of Zimbabwe as a nation. Remember, there is no nation that can actually survive in isolation, and Zimbabwe is not an exception. Going on again, we're looking at the opening of companies
mm-hmm.
in Zimbabwe. The government, as we are speaking right now, we've got about 700,000 jobs that have been created by the ZANU-PF government. And remember, we are not equal. Mm-hmm. Even if you're looking at your fingers, they are not equal. We can't get the same opportunities at the same time, everyone. You see, so as a government, if the government is trying, it needs the support of me and these other fellow structures, give direction, show the ministers the way to go. Dialogue is the only way that can solve this problem. But you cannot solve the problem of Zimbabwe if you are hiding in South Africa, or if you are hibernating in South Africa, where you will be invited, where you will be called names, while you are running away from your destiny in Zimbabwe. Let me add to the fact that I meet a lot of guys whenever I travel around. They will be telling us that Zimbabwe is afraid because we are away from our country. Therefore, hiding other countries, while you see with the opportunity to actually enrich ourselves. The opportunities are there. What is important is how best can we access information? If we access information, how best can we create opportunities for yourself? The ZANU-PF or the government of Zimbabwe can create opportunities for you and bring them to you in a silver platter or come and make it against you. If I added it earlier, the ZANU-PF can give you the fishing rebels, the government can give you a fishing rebels. What is left is for you to actually think outside the box and make that idea that you have into fruition. Now, as it is presented to the government, complexly, there were about 15 youth not aligned to ZANU-PF, who actually got named in Ukuza. They pushed and pushed and pushed until they got that name. So why can't others do the same? It's not all about being a member of ZANU-PF. Let's look at some of the big bricks within the MPC that own names. You can talk of your original movie, you can talk of your Togazani cookies, you can talk of your the MP from Ntumbane, Tungani.
All right, Mr. Maskati, Ashton, let me hold you both on the line there. There's a soundbite that I'd like to play of a young student, young female student. Huye is talking about female empowerment, to be exact. We're joined by our talent, Madaba, who sent us a voice note on WhatsApp. I asked her to comment on this particular discussion, but to predominantly focus on women empowerment in Zimbabwe. So let's hear what Talent had to say. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up our discussion with both Mr. Maskati and, of course, Ashton Bulile.
Well, this is an interesting question. Do I think there are enough women occupying positions of power in Zimbabwe? Well, I think there is much to be done in Zimbabwe in terms of respecting women. The drive is not yet in for Zimbabwe. As women are threatened and thwarted in their rise to power, there are just few lucky ones who rise by the virtue of their proximity to those in power. We have several cases of women leaders abducted and tortured, which is a practice of old age. So for Zimbabwe, we need to start lighting up fire and cook a gender meal, which all can eat.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard there from Talent Madaba, a young student in Zimbabwe, commenting on empowerment, youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Particularly, she was focusing there on the empowerment of the girl child or women empowerment in Zimbabwe. Admire, let's bring you back on the show there, brother. You heard there, Oksan Lushiwo Nkosazana Madaba. When we talk about women empowerment in Zimbabwe, Dololo, it's not happening. What is your response to that?
I'll beg to differ, especially when it comes to the women.
Mm-hmm.
women are given a 60% quota in parliament. What do they do with that 60% quota? Three quarters of them are known to change weeks and make up only. They are not representing the interests of the women down there. And when it comes to the youth, we are actually pushing for a youth quota where youth from all the provinces will actually get an opportunity where they can sit and deliberate on national issues in parliament. So the opportunities are not supposed to be created by us, being with the doldrums and on the terraces, but by us actually participating in the mainstream political arena.
All right, Babu Mira. Nguva ndiyo yedu yadyikana saka pachidimbu ndanchikumbira kuti mupindire vakoma masikati mutipo zvekare maondore nezvemashoko atanzwa anga achitaurwa namuzvare Madava.
No, I would agree with the lady. You know, in Zimbabwe, even for example, if you look at the presidium, you know, our presidium, you know, it tells a story. So my concluding remarks, I would say that there is still, you know, a lot which needs to be done in terms of, you know, uplifting, you know, young people and also women, you know, into leadership positions.
I think the work is supposed to be done by political party, each field, you know, or candidate. So, like, you know, for local authorities or even for parliament, I think there's still a lot which needs to be done in terms of, you know, uplifting, you know, young people and also women so that they occupy, you know, a public office, elected public office.
All right, what is Mbapo, you're hearing there from Ashton Bumira and, of course, Admire Maskati, two youth members of Zimbabwean nationalities are debating it there on whether or not President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been able to deliver on his promises with regards to uplifting Zimbabwean youth. But now, whilst on the same discussion of what President Emmerson Mnangagwa has promised the nation since 2017, there's another discussion that I'd like to delve into where I'm joined by prominent researcher Cynthia Chigwenya. Now, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, when he took over the reins of presidency in 2017, he vowed to ensure that his government would work hard to ensure that there's unity and, of course, that Zimbabweans can work together to address past traumas and, of course, other issues that Zimbabwe had faced, past traumas such as the Gukurahundi massacres. Now, to hear more about President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government's performance in that aspect, once again, I'm joined by Cynthia Chigwenya, prominent researcher, whose work predominantly focuses on a past conflict resolution. So let's hear more from Cynthia.
I authored a chapter in the previous year, in 2020, that is titled Bandwagoning or Intended Action, Examining Zimbabwe's Legal Framework on Peace Building. So what the book chapter was about was really the concept of bandwagoning is familiar in politics and international relations where political actors do something because it is popular, it is what is trending, or it is the norm during the time. So if you look, for instance, in the cases of Rwanda, where post-conflict reconstruction was sort of put into place and we had the whole world coming in and saying, how does Rwanda move forward? Mm-hmm. And so the title that says bandwagoning or intended action is to just explore how much intent and political will is in the current government's policy and also practices in terms of addressing Gukurahundi and all the other cases of violence that have happened. Now, the reason we speak about intent in this case is that, as you would know, the massacres happened in between 1983 and 1987, which is years ago. So it was only in 2018 that the government came out to say, we are going to start working with civil society organizations. We're going to start working with the victims and sort of map a way forward towards resolving the Gukurahundi massacres. So the intent here is really to say, you've been quiet for so long and you're coming into the picture now. How sincere are your intentions? And are you not going to dilute the efforts that have already been going on, either led by international organizations or the civil society? Overall, I explore the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission Act, the first law that actually seeks to address violence in Zimbabwe and incidents of injustices. So I explore the provisions that are in this act to say that does it really align with the norms and principles we've seen in other post-conflict societies elsewhere. But one of the issues that I note in my presentation is that the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission Act does not focus specifically on the Gukurawundi massacres. Right. What it focuses on violence more broadly. So if I'm going to take you to what it says the NPRC Act mandates the NPRC, which is the commission, to resolve burdens of past violence, to build the nation, and to ensure peace and reconciliation. So it is very ambiguous when it comes to incidents of violence, because we have had so many incidents of violence. So it's a step in the right direction, but you don't just want to move, you want to ensure that the vehicle you're moving in is rightly equipped to ensure that you get to your destination. So that is where the NPRS A is lagging, and especially, more especially in terms of bringing people to account. It doesn't speak of any initiative or intent to actually bring people to trial and say, you committed this crime during this the period of in violence, be it during Gukurawundi, be it during Murambachina, be it during this series of violence, electoral violence against opposition parties. So it doesn't speak about accountability, and that is very concerning, because if you're to deter an act or a crime, you need to make people accountable for that. And it also helps in reconciliation and giving justice to the victims.
Cynthia, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us on the program. So now, what you just highlighted there is a very important factor, which is that the Zimbabwean government has taken the first step towards addressing past traumas. However, as mentioned by a lot of listeners that have come onto this program, there's still a large population of people, not just young people, not just old people, people of all generations, highlighting that there's a lot of people who are still seeking justice and assistance from the Zimbabwean government. So how would you advise the Zimbabwean government to advance this issue and ensure that all Zimbabweans, once again, both young and old, can receive the justice and assistance that they're seeking?
And it's a very interesting question. And I think there are many ways to kill a cat. I'll refer to a maxim that says, anything for us without us is against us. So if I'm going to set up a commission on violence, for instance, be it Gukurawundi, be it land grabs, be it electoral violence, the first thing I need to note is it representative of the people that are from the groups that I need to focus on? And so the first thing that the NPRC Commission needs to do is to ensure that it is representative of the people it is trying to assist in getting reconciliation and justice for. And by so doing, you're able to appeal to both the victims and the survivors and say, we have, he's one of us, he experienced what you went through, so do you mind sharing with Vicky how we can help you? It is important for the government and the commission as well to gain trust from the people and the citizens to be able to gain trust and say, we would like to work with the government, because work has been going on in the background within the past 30 years, either led by external organizations, civil societies, or individuals, or even churches that were helping. The state needs to take an approach where it is accommodating, it is representative, so that it's able to gain the trust of both the people and the victims. But apart from being accommodating, I think the next step is to revisit the NPRA and say, this is the first step. But as a child, if you start crawling, you don't stop at crawling. You need to start baby steps. You need to, and after walking, you need to start running. And that is development.
Now, Cynthia, as you just highlighted, discussions on our past traumas, such as Gukurawundi, the opposition violence, and other past traumas that Zimbabwe's gone through, are things that happened in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. So now, explain to the young Zimbabwean why it's so important for them to understand this period in Zimbabwean history, and how does this contribute towards developing Zimbabwe, towards growing Zimbabwe and moving the country forward as per the aspirations of all young Zimbabweans?
It's a very, very interesting question. And I think it's It's a timely question to ask. So you'd find that the participation from young people was particularly low, mm-hmm. and understandably so. Some people might say, you know, I'm not directly related. Would think number two is it Chinua Achebe, who says whoever just ignores where he's from is at risk of you know, hitting a blind spot wherever he's going. Yes, essentially, history will serve you to avoid similar mistakes in the future. But you know what? And then somebody else can come and say, I'm not even interested in politics, so how's this going to help me in the future? But what we need to be aware of is that Bukurawande had lasting impact, but not just Bukurawande, also several incidents of violence. They have lasting impact. You have women that are living with experiences of rape, and that has got an impact on how they relate to other, their children, how they relate to their neighbors in the society. And I think we owe it to building and rebuilding Zimbabwe to address how vulnerable people are treated in our society. But apart from women who are survivors of rape accounts, we also have a generation that is growing from that period of violence. So you have children that are born out of rape, but not just children, you have people that were displaced. You have, you know, families that were disintegrated because of that incident. So these are people that we're living with. We might not be directly related to them, but some of them are our friends. Some of them are, you know, our co-workers. And I think it's a discussion that we need to be cautious of, and we need to really bring to the fore and if we are to build a better Zimbabwe for all.
Now, as we wrap up, Cynthia, I want to touch on something that seems to be very important here, which is the participation of all Zimbabweans towards nation building or bringing unity. We hear experts emphasizing on the fact that peace building, unity, all these exercises are not just the mandate of government, but all citizens play a very crucial role. So now, as we wrap up here, what words would you have for Zimbabwean youth, especially those listening to this interview, pertaining to that, what role they should be playing towards peace building and unity in Zimbabwe?
It's going to sound very cliche, but it starts with you and I. That is the truth. And in the different capacities that we occupy, it starts with you reaching out to your Ndebele neighbor and trying to understand them. It starts with you and I engaging with you, Mike, and saying, why aren't young people involved in this topic and how do we get young people to participate? So really, peace building is not entirely the job of the government. It is the responsibility of both the government and the citizens, especially the citizens. And the reason I say it is the responsibility of the citizens more is precisely that if you look at the either economic structure or the social structure, the issues that affect your middle class and lower class are not the same as the issues that affect your elites in the society. So if Peggy is my neighbor and Peggy is Ndebele, then I probably interact with them more than somebody else in a more affluent suburb interacts with their neighbor. And even if they do, it's never really issues that are concerning to them. So it is even more so responsibility for you and I and the ordinary citizen to engage, because we live in the Zimbabwean society, and the society that we live in is still heavily impacted by a series of mass killings and series of violence, including Bukurawande, including violence against opposition parties. So we need to work on that because it affects us more than it affects everybody else who is excluded from the normal person's reality.
All right. Well, Zulugandaba, Zimbabwe, we just heard there from Cynthia Chigwenya. Kodwa isikhathi sesesilomango itashika kumagumo echirongwa chedu chanhasi. Regai nditore mukana uyu mukutenda all the guests that joined us apano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki at Big Mike 3 on Twitter and Instagram. If you're looking to catch up with me, Maria Zimbabwe Lingakofi. If you're looking to join us apano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki, you can reach out to me using those social media pages. Anokoneka ine mufaro ndinonyi Mike Hove. Maria Zimbabwe mutakazo muhle. Let's meet same time, same place next week. Bye-bye!